It is a delight to be with you all today as we have come to worship the King of Kings and hear his voice through the word that he has given. So let's pray together and then we'll seek him. Our Father, we ask that you would come, and as we sit before your word, we need you to give us understanding of the truth before us. We want to believe what you have said and live happily under your kind and generous rule. We want to grow in faith. We want to grow in holiness. Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the glory of your holy name. Amen. The scripture this morning is Luke 14. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24, which is the text for the message, but I will refer to some of the earlier verses as well. So you'll want to take those nice new Bibles in your pew there, or the ones that you brought, and have the whole chapter before you. So I'm going to read Luke 14, verses 12 through 24. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.' The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord will stand forever."
Amen.
Amen. Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised when they read in Scripture all the food images that picture the gospel? Let me give you two of them. This is Isaiah 55, first two verses. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." These are the words of Jesus. John 6:27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst. Whenever we take the communion meal, as we will this morning, we feast upon Christ by faith. That's the language we use, and it's good language, isn't it? And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food, occasions for eating and drinking, they give such amazing metaphors of all of God's kind provisions for us in the gospel of His Son. They are rich, they are abundant, they satisfy the longings of the soul like a good meal. They give joy to those who come and eat and drink. Luke 14 records three food stories. Did you see it? One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So lessons about parties told at a party. The lessons he gave were full of reproof and were no doubt shocking to those who were there and listened to the words of our Lord. To the host, to one particular guest, and to all the guests who were there. So let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see three things. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, that's the main point of the sermon, and then a shocking exclusion. That's the outline for the message. We begin with the awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of an important man, a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests attended. Some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others were there. They were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to visit with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. And I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched so that they could catch him doing something they believed ought not to be done. It was a Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call this condition edema now. He was there. He was near Jesus. I doubt he was an honored guest, because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not the wealthy friends he has and relatives. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched, what was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the fourth commandment. That's what Jesus taught. Any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man, and then Jesus dismissed the man. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply. Verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that parable in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low place and be invited to move up than to take an honored position and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, not at least at this party. And he saw things. And when he saw them, he addressed them. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there's more. Verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, the ruler of the Pharisees, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or relatives or rich neighbors, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing for Jesus to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there, listening to his words. Don't be concerned about returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Bless the needy. Invite the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised, but you do what is right now. And wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. So this is the awkward moment. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. Whatever the length, the next words spoken were those of another guest. Here are the words, verse 15. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of these next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, said to him, So the parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was Jesus' response to his comment. And through him it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom. But there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up this generous invitation. And it is generous. Very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready, with everything in place, the second notice went out. Now's the time. The food is prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they weren't good reasons. I bought a field and have to check it out. I bought some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now. I can't make it. All fine things to do, but they were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. They were offensively weak excuses. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus described the responses. The servant reported back, and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he made for their comfort. All the effort to provide generously for them wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. Some of you may know, maybe most of you don't know, that for a time my family lived in Uganda, in a region called Karamoja. Uganda is one of the poorest countries in the world, and Karamoja is the poorest country, region in the country. The Karamojong people are hospitable. They are generous. They love to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable expense to themselves. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying. But he assumed that I would be there for a long time, and he and his family prepared accordingly. So there I was, with a few of my kids, looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for my family. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave. A concept unknown to the Karamojong people, I came to discover. No one is ever in a hurry, and no one ever feels pressure to leave anywhere. A lesson worth learning, maybe, for some of us. I don't know. So I thanked him. I apologized. I took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was and made another apology to this family, who in time became very close, treasured friends. We enjoyed each other around many meals after that, and so things did work out. But this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it's inconvenient to accept it, especially when food is prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought in the poor and crippled and blind and lame to fill his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everybody come. Anyone, you are welcome. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before I get there, think for a moment about God's generous invitation and welcome to the world. I'm sure you know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we all love to eat. It is about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere, and it is universal. Preparations have been made, and all are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I know that you agree. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Actually, I've heard that you do. Well done. Do you love being in God's family? I do. And you who believe, you love it too. It's so wonderful being a child of the living God through faith in Jesus, his Son. I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I'm so glad to have a Savior who loves me and gave his life for me. He is present with me. He makes promises to me. He helps me, provides for me, protects me, guides me, and will one day bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and with all of his people. I'm so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you want others to join the family? Do you want God to have a bigger family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? It is a feast. We're all feasting at Christ's table. We're doing it now, actually, as we join our hearts in praise and prayer and attention to God's commandments and all of his promises. It's a feast. Worship is a feast. Life with Jesus is a feast. A generous banquet hosted by our God and Savior. Not that life is easy and comfortable. It's filled with trials. We all know it. We all feel it. Jesus promised that there would be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist, but there's no need to pretend. Life is hard, pain is real, And some troubles never go away in this life. And we need to learn to speak honestly about this to ourselves and to God in our prayers, all the while longing for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, and we will see Jesus. And when we see him, we will be like him, 1 John 3:2. And we will spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all the saints. But life in this age is hard, and that's why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have him. We have him, brothers and sisters. Jesus is our brother, and not ashamed to say it, Hebrews 2:11. A brother who never fails us. Jesus is there for you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers. He always welcomes you. Do you believe that? I trust you do. You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it, Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. This is all really delicious spiritual food, isn't it? All the blessings that belong to us because we belong to Jesus. We need food, and Jesus feeds us. He feeds us generously and abundantly. Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on this parable. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, the mission of this congregation. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father. We serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. I think it's a good statement. But listen again to verse 23. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Not force them or drag them, but urge them, persuade them, invite them, and surely welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls ready to eat and to be satisfied. The food is ready. There's room at the table. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while all are invited, not all will accept the invitation. So let's move to the tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of Christ. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said these words, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Oh, what a day that will be. We'll be there. We'll be eating, drinking. We'll all be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's welcome. So the invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The welcome of God is serious stuff. There is a lot at stake. The world is perishing in their sins. They are called by the God of heaven to come, repent, and believe in Jesus. But there are many who will not do it. Here's the chilling concluding sentence, verse 24. For I tell you, None of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet. Not a taste. Jesus is warning his own people in this parable, the Jews who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to be their Savior. They were invited. Preparations were made, but they did not come. Maybe you know John 1:11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But there is a broader view in the parable as well. I want to say it this way. We are living right now in the age of welcome. Christ's atoning work is finished, and the invitation to come and to be saved continues. And that welcome extends to everyone. The warning extends to everyone as well. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or they think things are lousy but have no idea how to cope with the problems they face or the trials that come. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to feast. It is your great privilege, brothers and sisters, to say to the world, come and eat. The food is here. The word is proclaimed. God's people are ready to welcome the sinner into the family as they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you for delivering that invitation to the people of New Braunfels. Keep doing it. And we will pray that many will come, will forsake their life and their sins, and find rest and feast through Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34:8. Listen diligently to Jesus, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. Help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.